Welcome everybody to The World is a Mess, and I just want to steampunk it. This is episode 99, January 10th, Wednesday. I'm your host, Steampunk Star Raisin, and I'm here with my co-host, Daniel Bertison. I'm in North Hollywood, he's in Ontario,
Bellwood,
Canada.
Ontario, Canada.
Yeah, Bellwood, Ontario, Canada. Bellwood, right?
Yep.
So, sorry, I just been recovering from a cold, kind of fatigued today. But, man, last month was really chaotic. I had, like, one of the worst Christmases of all time. You want to hear that story?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure thing.
Oh boy, here comes my girlfriend. Hold on.
Of
Hold
course.
on. Hold on. Hello?
Yeah.
I'm you're live with me and Daniel on the podcast. You okay with that?
I'll talk to you later because I have too much going on. I can't get involved with that, fortunately.
Why not? You only want to talk about personal stuff. No, I'm just teasing. Yeah, that's okay. You're on recording. I guess I love you. Talk to you tomorrow. Or are you going to call?
After you're done with this. Okay, when are you going to be done?
Standard time. Like within a half hour. Okay, jeez. She probably want to talk about something personal, so that's why. My apologies to those who listen to the podcast and the video version of the podcast. But, and as always, the podcast name has changed, just like it did last episode. Is The World is a Mess. Actually, it's The World is a Mess Steampunk It. I dropped and I just want to because it's too long, complicated of a title. I found that I got more listeners on my podcast by shortening the title. And also, The World is a Mess Steampunk It is a separate YouTube channel from AmberStreet.com now. I figured because this year when I was at LA Comic-Con, I wasn't able to get press credentials for the first time. And I think a lot of that has to do with the podcast gets not a whole lot of views. And it's kind of disrupting my main YouTube channel. So I pushed it to the side to another YouTube channel, just a refresher from last time. But yeah, last month, I went to Arkansas. Are you still there? Can you hear me?
Hey, I can hear you.
And I went to Camden, Arkansas, where I went to middle school a long time ago. And I had to, because I had to get a copies of my comic strip from the Camden Library. It was the only place in the world where they were available because when I was like 13, I used to be a cartoonist. I was a teenage cartoonist. It was technically my first job. And over the years from moving and whatnot, I lost like half of my comic strips. So I had to go there. I had to go to the library. I had to go get things off of microfilm and have them printed out. And then, the guy that rented me the car was very sketchy. Like I reserved through Priceline.com. It was originally reserved through Ace Rental Car on Priceline. And then he switched me to Nifty Rental Car number two. And he gave me, when I was in New Orleans, I took an Amtrak from LA to New Orleans. When I was in New Orleans, I got, a rental car, but he asked where I was going, and I said I was going up to Camden, and he's like, "That's out of the range." And I was like, "Well, but your ad says unlimited miles." So then he kind of the guy kind of baited and switched me to a different rental car company separate from Ace, and he gave me a 2015 Hyundai Sonona Sport. I mean, they got good gas mileage when it ran. But the car had high mileage. It had over 150,000 miles. It was burning oil. I had to keep up with the oil. You know, he even asked me, "You know how to check the oil?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I know how to check oil." And so he knew that there was issues with this car. And so I was able to drive all the way to Camden. I was able to get my comic strips printed out, which I'm going to release in a graphic novel entitled "I Was Fired at 13." And because that was my first job technically at age 13. And then I moved, and then I was late mailing comic strips in when I lived in Orlando, Florida, and then they fired me. So the comic strip only ran like 3.5 months. So I did a superhero comic strip called Sonic Man. Anywho, so while I was there, I went to the Craters of Diamonds National Park. I did a tiny bit of diamond mining. I didn't really find anything of interest there. It was just neat to see the national park. And then I went back to Camden, checked back into the hotel for one more day. And then on December the 23rd, I left Camden, and I was supposed to go to Pensacola, Florida to meet up with my parents for Christmas. And I ended up breaking down in El Dorado, Arkansas, which is southeastern Arkansas near the border of Louisiana and like Mississippi. And too much to my annoyance is when I called the rental car company, he was like, "You're out of range. We can't come get you. You're going to have to wait until the day after Christmas before we can even send a mechanic out to try to fix the rental car." And I was like, "Well," and he's like, "You need to start looking for mechanics, and you need to start looking for other rental car companies." And I was like, "There's nothing. I'm out in the sticks, man. I'm in the sticks, literally, as in a forest of pine trees, which is typical of Arkansas, in the middle of nowhere. There wasn't even a yellow cab, or Lyft, or Uber. I was only able to get one bar on my cell phone. I could barely make calls, let alone browse the internet to try to look up stuff on Google Maps. God, that was a complete nightmare. And I learned you should always carry a compass, and you should always carry a map atlas, like a printed one, like one with really big maps with, you know, that so you can clearly see the roads, so that if you can't get on the internet, if you don't have good cellular reception, you at least can freaking navigate. So, you know, I'm driving through El Dorado, and I'm trying to get to the Louisiana border to get down towards to Pensacola to visit family for Christmas, which they invited me to come down as the whole reason why I was coming down. And I was about 6 hour drive from northeast of Pensacola, and all of a sudden the battery light came on this Hyundai Sonona, and then I lost power steering. And I had passed about a half mile back, I had passed a Chevron gas station, and I had gotten gas there before. And I was like, "Crap, this is a tiny two-lane country road. I can't afford to break down here because I'm going to block traffic, and it's going to be dangerous, and there's nowhere to safely park." And so I had to do, you know, with no power steering, I had to turn the car around, drive back a half a mile. I had to go wait until the red light changed. I had to do a U-turn around the red light because I had a hard time turning, and I missed my turn because, you know, if you've ever driven a car with no power steering, it's very hard. You take that power steering for granted. So I barely was able to get into the, you know, it was called R&D Grocery, like 7 miles south of El Dorado. I think it was on Highway 7. I can't remember the name of the highway offhand. I'll have to look it up again. But that's not the point. They had a wide parking lot. They had a wide gravel parking lot. So I managed to park. I pulled the car up far from the gas pumps because I didn't want to block traffic. And I turned the car off to troubleshoot it, and I tried turning it back on. It was completely dead, of course, because the alternator had gone bad, and it was no longer charging the battery. So the battery went dead, and it and the a lot of engines, the power steering belt goes around the alternator belt. So when the alternator freezes up, it disables the power steering as well as the ability to charge your battery. So yeah, like I said, when I called the guy, he was like, "Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to send anybody out till December the 26th." And this was December the 23rd. So I was like, "Crap, what am I gonna do?" So I tried calling my mom because my parents have a car. My parents refused to come pick me up, but I shouldn't be surprised. That's only the second time in the last 8 years that they, you know, didn't help me out when it was a crisis, even though they could have. But, you know, I've had, my mom refused to come pick me up. I said, well, mom, I know it's inconvenient to drive 6 hours, but, you know, gosh, I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere, far from any services. I'm only getting one bar of my cellular signals. So, and then I tried calling AAA, you know, after making arrangements, I ended up, you know, getting a call back from the dude in New Orleans that ran the nifty rental car. And he told me to leave the keys with the store manager. And I got permission, because Arkansas has very strict trespassing laws, to leave the car there till December the 26th, till they could send a mechanic out to fix it. And so I met up, the manager showed up because it was a crisis emergency. I gave her the keys, and I got, my girlfriend keeps texting me. Oh, she's playing music in the background, so she's worried that that would cause a conflict with the podcast. Okay. Because my girlfriend records metal music, she does like black metal style music, based around her character 8 Foot Beast, and so she's recording and editing audio files, and so I appreciate that she's considerate sending me a text message. But anyway, so I made an arrangement for the car to be picked up, and the guy that owned the rental car guy that owned the car was going to send a mechanic out and pick it up. Left the keys. I tried calling AAA. AAA was like, "Well, do you need us to change a tire or jump you off?" And I was like, well, I need a mechanic, but I already made arrangements with a rental car company for them to, I have to leave the car here for them to come pick me up. Can you give me a ride? Because the closest hotel is like 10 miles away. And they were like, no, we're not a taxi service, sir. And so AAA was useless. They refused to help me. And so luckily, I met the very nice store manager of the R&D grocery, near 7 miles south of El Dorado at the Chevron gas station. And she told me that she knew a guy named Rick Taxi. That's what he calls his business. And he's just a dude in a white van. But luckily, she gave me a good reference. I was able to hitch a ride with that guy. I had to pay him $20. He gave me a ride to El Dorado to a Holiday Inn Express. And from December the 23rd to December the 26th, instead of being able to go to Pensacola, I was stranded in El Dorado, Arkansas. And then on December the 26th, I had to call the Rick Taxi again and get him to give me a ride to the Enterprise Rental, because luckily they had at least one rental car company in all of El Dorado. I had to go to Enterprise Rental. I had to pay like $600 with a credit card, and it had to be a credit card, because I had to pay $100 a day to rent a car, $50 a day for insurance, and then I had to pay a $150 drop-off fee, and then I had to pay $300 security deposit for a car. I mean, it was just like a poverty trap, black hole, El Dorado's. Like, I could barely get out of the area, and I didn't realize this until recently, but like when I tried to go to Greyhound, because I was like, well, maybe I'll just take a Greyhound bus from El Dorado to Arkansas, because that's the closest Amtrak station, and I can just hop on, you know, the Amtrak train in Arkansas, which is on the border with Texas, and just take the Texas Eagle back in and then connect with the Sunset Limited that way. Couldn't do that because apparently Greyhound is in the process of going out of business. They got bought out by Flixbus, and they're shutting down all the bus stations. And so when I tried using the Greyhound app, I couldn't even book a Greyhound. It said there was a Greyhound bus station in town, but apparently they no longer pick up there anymore. So it was a complete nightmare. I was stranded for 3 days, all because my parents didn't want to help out, didn't want to come. You know, it was too inconvenient. Christmas snacks were more important. So anyway, so on December the 26th, like I said, I got the Rick Taxi guy to come pick me up, but he was late coming to pick me up. And then I, you know, by the time I got to the Enterprise rental car, there was a long line because they only had two people running the whole rental car place. I had to go get a rental car, and they luckily gave me a decent car. They gave me a 2022 Toyota Camry. It had high mileage, but for a Toyota, 41,000 miles is not a whole lot. And it was in really good shape. So I managed to get the Toyota Camry after paying $600 on my credit card. And then by this time, I had no time to go to Pensacola anymore. So I ended up driving back to New Orleans because I had a return train ticket from New Orleans to take the Sunset Limited back to LA. And man, December the 26th was extremely stressful because I had to drive 7 hours of one day. It was extremely tiring because I was racing the clock because the rental car place, the Enterprise rental car place in downtown New Orleans was, they closed at 5:30. They had, you know, this was like, I think on Barone Street, but there was another rental car place at the airport, but that's so chaotic trying to go in airport traffic to the international airport in New Orleans to return a car. I wanted to return it to a smaller location that was easier to park. And so I had to like literally take very few breaks and not even stop for food. I like got a Coke and that was the only thing I had the whole 7 hour trip because I was rushing to get there before they closed at 5:30. I managed to get there at 4 o'clock. I got them to agree to take me to the hotel. I stayed at the old 77 hotel, which is a great hotel, by the way. And then on December the 27th, I ended up having to take a lift from the old 77 hotel to the Amtrak because my Amtrak train going back to LA left at 9 a.m. on December the 27th. And then I got back on the train. Then we had all kinds of delays on the Amtrak train because we had to wait for freight trains. And then and this weird woman. It was like, I think she got on at like around San Antonio, Texas or somewhere. And she approached me and she was like touching my hat. And she's like, I really like your hat. I really like that hat. And I was like, yeah, I'm an artist. I make hats. Thank you. Thank you for the compliment. And she was like, she goes, well, I'm a massage therapist and we're both very expensive people, but maybe I could trade you massage therapy for a hat. I was like, oh my God, if I'm not mistaken, she was hitting on me, but I had no attraction. Plus I have a girlfriend. And so I was like, well, thank you. And I just looked at her oddly. And then after that, they were doing an investigation into who puked on the train. Apparently somebody sitting next to me puked on the train and the train conductor was mad. And he acted like I was the one that puked on the train. But I guess he realized because I didn't smell like puke and I didn't smell like alcohol that I hadn't puked. I was like, dude, I was on the phone. Wasn't really paying attention. And he was like, you're really loud. You need to stop yelling. Because I was talking with my friend Lee on the phone. And I was like, okay, sorry for being loud. Because you got to realize these train conductors, man, they're really high. It's a really high stress job. They're overworked, underpaid. And they can literally leave you stranded in the middle of nowhere if they think you're unfit to ride. And they have the power of life and death over you. And so we get to Tucson, which is, you know, southeastern Arizona. And the woman behind me gets kicked off the train and she refuses to leave the train. So then they call the Tucson police because she refuses to leave the train. She's like, well, I paid for a ticket, blah, 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 blah. And I later asked why she got kicked, and she eventually reluctantly got off the train, and she ended up getting stranded in Tucson, Arizona. And this woman was going to LA like I was. And I told the police officer, I had like three police officers armed with guns, literally inches on my butt because the train aisle was really narrow. And it just scared the crap out of me because I didn't know what was going on at first. And I told the police officer, I was like, hey, I'm sitting here. I have a seat reserved here, but I tell you what, I'm going to go to the bathroom because I just knew to get out of the intersection of trouble. And so she ended up getting kicked off a train. And I heard that she basically got in a fight with a train conductor, started yelling at her, threw trash on the ground. It pissed off the train conductor and they kicked her off the train. And then when she refused to get off the train, they called the police on her. So there was drama there. Then going towards LA, this was at the end of freaking drama. Going towards LA, I find out that they're doing maintenance on the tracks. So the tracks between Ontario, California, and Los Angeles are disabled, and the train wasn't going to go all the way to LA. So I had to get off the train at 3 a.m. on December the 29th in Ontario, California, which was extremely exhausting because I already wasn't sleeping very well. And I had a coach seat. I didn't have a sleeping car because it was expensive, and I had to take a shuttle bus from Ontario to LA to Union Station. And then I had to get on the red line at Union Station and then, connect to a bus to get back to North Hollywood. So that was my whole freaking trip. So at least I got to go to the Crater of Diamonds National Park, and I got to retrieve my comic strips that were long since lost and now since retrieved, which I am going to publish into a graphic novel. I'm going to put all this whole story about how chaotic it was to even go to Canmore, Arkansas during Christmas, and how to even escape, Arkansas during Christmas, because I got stranded in Arkansas for 3 days. The moral of the story is don't travel during Christmas, folks, because you might get stranded and it will be no help because everything's closed for 3 days in a row for Christmas. And always have a credit card for emergencies with at least $600 credit limit on your credit card, because otherwise you're not going to be able to rent a car. And then, and have a compass and have a road map atlas in case you can't get good cellular reception and you can't get access to Google Maps. Like, I was so far in the sticks, I couldn't even get Google Maps. It was a freaking nightmare. So that was my nightmare of Christmas. How was your Christmas, Daniel?
Well, first of all, you sound like you had an interesting Christmas.
It was interesting, but very stressful. But I made it back. As obvious, I'm back home in North Hollywood.
Yeah. So, well, my Christmas was okay, I suppose. It was nice. Went out, I did some shopping, and then we came home. And, this December had, like, no snow, completely nothing. I remember Christmas in the 90s. There was so much snow that
there's two phrases for that. It's called global warming and climate change.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, apparently, like, it's global warming is getting more intense, that there's almost like no snow, if nothing at all.
I mean, there is, but certain areas are going to get more snow than they normally would. Certain areas are going to get less. And so that's why it's not just global warming. It's also climate change. You also have climate inversion, because as the glaciers on the North and South Pole melt, this causes the sea to rise, but it also causes the average temperature of the world's oceans to drop slightly. And as the average temperature of the world's oceans drop, this leads to climate inversion, where in the short period of time, some areas will get colder and some areas will get warmer. That's why, hence, it's global warming, but it's also climate change.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Maybe this is a good thing, because I remember in the 90s, oh my God, we had to shovel so much snow. And now, very little, if anything.
So hasn't snowed there at all this year in
December, nothing. But now there's a little bit more snow, but still it's very little. And that's a good thing.
Well, I guess to a certain degree, until coastal cities start becoming flooded because of all the global warming and the climate change, and causes the oceans to rise. They're saying that at the rate that the oceans are rising and the rate that we have global warming, New Orleans could be underwater by the year 2100. I mean, it won't be within our lifetimes, but close to it. Not a good thing. Just don't, if you die and you get cryogenically frozen, don't cryogenically store your corpse in New Orleans, because it will probably fail and be underwater in the ocean, and then your corpse will decompose, and then you'll no longer have any chance of coming back to life as a cryogenically frozen corpse.
Mm.
Okay. That's my dark humor of the of the day, of the week maybe. But yeah, so what else is on your mind? What else is on your mind, Daniel? I told you about
Well,
my long trip and all the chaos that I went through on that long trip.
did you hear? Like, there's gonna be a Mandalorian movie, a Mandalorian and Grogu movie.
Well, that's what I heard. I heard that Ahsoka didn't get a lot of they didn't it didn't do as well as they were hoping. It didn't get as many views as they were hoping. And so they were talking about instead of doing Ahsoka season two, instead of doing Mandalorian season four. Yeah, instead of doing Mandalorian season four, that they would just do a joint movie that ties up all the loose ends between
They're
Mandalorian
doing
and
Mandalorian
Ahsoka.
season four.
Oh, they
They're doing
are?
that.
Okay, I
Yeah.
didn't. I heard rumors that they may not, but I guess they are. Because I heard Mandalorian season three didn't do very well. It didn't get a lot of views, or got low views comparably to like seasons one and two.
Yeah. But like, what are you looking forward to? The Rey movie, the new Jedi Order movie,
I
or
am not looking forward to Rey anything.
Yeah, so I guess Mando is your thing. Yeah.
Well, maybe Kylo Ren, before he died, force teleported Sporn. You know what I mean? If you force teleport a lightsaber, maybe he force teleported sperm and got her pregnant, and he'll be her baby daddy and a force ghost.
Well, she went in. Remember, he disappeared inside of her, so it's possible that she gets pregnant with him.
That's what I was saying. Force teleportation of sperm. But it's an unutilized power in the Star Wars universe. But yeah, I think that's a disaster. Why are they doing a Rey movie? The sequel trilogy has divided Star Wars fans, and most Star Wars fans can't stand the sequel trilogy. So why are they even doing a sequel to that? Why are you bothering? Move on. Let's go to like 1,000 years in the future or something, or 4,000 years in the past. So I have no optimism for a Rey movie.
Well, the first movie made over 2 billion, The Force Awakens. The second movie, The Last Jedi, made 1.5 billion, over
And then
1.5 billion.
the Rise of Skywalker, I think, made 1.1.
Yeah, 1.1. So it didn't do badly. It surpassed 1 billion.
Yeah, but I have a feeling that if they release another Star Wars movie focused around the character of Rey, because of the critical backlash of the sequel trilogy, it's probably going to do even worse.
Yeah, well, it's all the directors. That's the director's fault. At three different directors with weird
You had two
ideas.
different directors. You had J.J. Abrams for The Force Awakens and The Rise of Skywalker, the first and third in the sequel trilogy, and Rian Johnson did The Last Jedi. And he co-wrote The Last Jedi. And
Yeah.
you could tell that J.J. Abrams was just in The Rise of Skywalker, he was doing damage control, you know, because the way he had laid it out, you could tell that he meant for Snoke to be a more mysterious and more powerful character, and Snoke was supposed to be the big bad, you know, for the sequel trilogy. But Rian Johnson wanted to subvert expectations and thumb his nose at the fans, and decided to make Luke Skywalker a broken old man who had rejected the Force, and make Snoke a weakling who was easily killed by Kylo Ren, who was easily defeated by Rey. So that kind of hurt the sequel trilogy because, yeah, you subverted expectations, but then you destroyed the plot. Like, what was the plot? Okay, we're down the 10-minute warning. So like it was like, what was the point of the plot? What were you know, it felt like the J.J. Abrams was building up to something, and then Rian Johnson just threw it out. And Rian Johnson was supposed to do the third movie, or I think somebody else. They ended up switching back to J.J. Abrams to do Damage Control because it got such critical backlash from the fans. And so, you know, and then so J.J. Abrams was like, holy crap, he killed off Snoke. So what can I do? I'll just bring back the Emperor. I won't even explain how the Emperor came back to life. And then that kind of hurts the original trilogy because it makes it seem like Darth Vader, aka Anakin Skywalker's sacrifice, was for nothing because he could just come back as a rotten clone. I mean, they didn't explain anything. It was just really dumb. The whole thing with like the the romance between Rey and Kylo Ren, that was dumb. That was dumb. Just totally dumb.
Yeah.
Dumb. So I am not optimistic in a Rey movie. If they come out with a Rey movie in theaters, I'm not going to even bother to watch it.
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on the writers and the director. So I don't know. I'll
give I don't it a know. Chance. I anything that connects to the sequel trilogy sucks.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's complete dog crap. Could do without it. But we're running out of time. We need to.
Yeah, let's go and talk about Ukraine.
Oh, yes, right. You love talking about Ukraine. Hold on. Last time, the live UA map wasn't working properly. Hopefully this time it is. Okay. Yeah, it is. It is. So cool. Hold on a second. I hate all these pop-ups. Ah, these pop-ups are annoying. Hold on a sec. I'm going to close all my windows. I'm going to open up a new window. I need to make sure. Sorry, guys. I'm having some technical issues with some weird pop-ups. Okay. Let's go to live UA. Okay. How much time we got on the counter? Okay, we only got 4 minutes. So I got to make this quick. Let me share screen. I apologize, guys. Can you see that?
Yep.
Yeah, this gives a overall, like I said, a lot of this is self-reporting. Some of this is based on news articles that are posted on the internet, and this is like an open source cross-reference. You know, it's following the wars in Syria, Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, and crime in the United States. And as you can see, this is January 10th, 2024. The war really, we're getting really close to the 2 year anniversary of Putin's offensive, which was, I think, was January 24th. Anyway, and so, you know, the Russians tried to take Kiev. They get pushed back at Kiev, but they still control about one fifth of Ukraine, of eastern Ukraine, including Crimea. And casualties have been heavy on both sides. There's really not much going, I mean, not much has changed since the last time the front lines dramatically changed was in November of 2022, where the Russian forces pulled out of Kherson and they pulled back across the river. And they set up a front line right here. You see my mouse?
Yep, I can see it.
And nothing has really changed. The gray areas are areas Russia used to occupy, and the red areas are where areas where Russia occupies, Ukrainian military occupies these areas. And not much has changed. There's heavy fighting around Avdiivka right here. This is the interesting part. Avdiivka is through this area right here. There's been heavy fighting and engagement through this area right here. And Russians have been doing heavy bombardment and missile strikes through this area, trying to take this city. They have it three quarters of the way surrounded, but this has been a stalemate for like over a year. And there doesn't appear, you know, the Russia continues to fire drones and missiles. And Belgorod has also come under attack by the Ukrainians. But yeah, so no end in sight with the war. The war continues to be a stalemate in Ukraine. And the front line has not significantly changed since November of 2022. We only have a minute left. Do you have any last words about Ukrainian war before I end this podcast?
No.
Well, thank you very much. This has been, I'm your host, Steampunk Starraisin. I am here in North Hollywood, California, and I'm with your co-host, Daniel Bertison. He is in Bellwood, Ontario, Canada. And you have a nice day, and I will see you 25 billion years. I will.
Bye.